Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Jobs for Latinos.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A study due out this morning gives us a good look at the Latino workforce. It shows unemployment among Latinos hit a record low, 5.2%, in the second quarter of this year. Dan Gretsch reports.
The Pew Hispanic Center found that nearly 500,000 Latinos landed jobs in construction over the past 2 years. The sector accounted for one of every two new jobs Latinos found during the study period. The study's author says the housing slowdown could hit Hispanics particularly hard. Economist Rakesh Kocher.
The circle will come back in some sense to Hispanic workers, and their recent gains may be lost.
With fewer construction jobs, what industries are Latinos likely to turn to next? Kocher says teaching and healthcare.
In education, we are seeing Hispanics at the lower rungs of the teaching jobs. In health services, it is an industry in which they're establishing a toehold.
The study also found wages for Hispanics are on the rise, but are still lower than any other racial or ethnic group. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
The drug company Merck wasn't kidding when it promised to fight thousands of Vioxx lawsuits one by one. Yesterday, trial number 10 wrapped up. A federal jury said there wasn't enough evidence to link the painkiller to a Kentucky man's heart attack. That gives Merck 5 wins and 4 losses. Another case is headed for retrial. But the company faces more than 14,000 Vioxx lawsuits. China says a major probe into corruption could bring down some of the country's most powerful officials. Just a few days ago, the Communist Party's top leader in Shanghai was dismissed on graft charges. Jocelyn Ford has more.
China corruption watchers don't expect the probe to do a thorough job of exposing all officials who have broken the law. Professor Joseph Chung says Chinese President Hu Jintao wants to show the public he's tough on corruption. But President Hu also considers politicians from Shanghai as rivals and wants to make sure they know who's boss.
It's not going to be systematic, because if you trace all the way to the top, the consequence will be political instability.
Chung says the fall of the Shanghai party boss Chen Liangyu has some lessons for foreigners who do business here.
You need to build relationship with bureaucrats before you can become profitable in China. But the risk is that when the connection is broken, your business operation will be interrupted.
So your business plan might be slowed. But then again, Chung says, China rarely targets foreigners for corruption. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Here's one of those lesser-known economic signs. The trucking industry says its load lightened 3% in August. And I mean literally. The American Trucking Association tracks the weight of the stuff hauled by U.S. truckers every month. Economists watch this carefully because truckers move 2/3 of retail and manufactured goods in the U.S. You're listening to Marketplace. Around the country this morning, employees of the Baltimore Sun handed a letter to their boss's boss yesterday. They told the head of the Tribune Company, either give the paper the resources it needs or sell it. Tribune Company owns 11 papers around the country and about 24 TV stations. It's been looking for ways to cut costs. Los Angeles is trying to clean up the downtown area known as Skid Row. The district attorney is ordering all drug offenders who are on probation to stay away. If they're spotted in the area, they'll be sent to jail. Last year, police made 2,300 drug arrests on Skid Row. New York wants to get the trans fatty acids out of restaurant food. The Board of Health is considering a near-total ban. It might limit them to 0.5 gram per serving. Trans fats are oils implicated in heart disease and diabetes. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SHRM's new book, The New American Workplace, presenting a look at the hot-button issues that define work in the U.S. More at shrm.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Let's do the numbers. The Dow gained 93 points, 0.8% to close at 11,669. It's now within 100 points of its all-time high. The NASDAQ gained 0.5% to 2261. The S&P 500 put on 0.75%. Today, Japan's Nikkei jumped 2.5%, its biggest one-day gain in 2 months. Oil prices rose to $61.35 a barrel. Some of the world's richest people have been donating their money to solve some of the world's biggest problems. Bill Gates is giving billions to fight AIDS in Africa. The founders of Google are devoting big bucks to tackle poverty, disease, and global warming. Warren Buffett has pledged money to create a nuclear fuel bank to discourage countries from developing their own nuclear programs. Commentator Robert Reich believes this philanthropy is all well and good.
I think it's wonderful that a few hundred of America's richest people are devoting some of their billions to good causes. Last Friday, Bill Clinton wrapped up his second annual charity extravaganza with commitments of $7.3 billion to combat illness, poverty, religious and ethnic conflict, and climate change from 215 do-gooding tycoons. That includes $3 billion from Virgin Atlantic magnate Richard Branson to develop energy sources that don't contribute to global warming. Remember the first George Bush's 1,000 points of light? Well, now we have a few hundred supernovas. Forbes magazine just published its annual list of the 400 richest Americans, and for the first time, every one of them is worth more than $1 billion. I remember a time when government collected lots of money from people at or near the top, and then we left it to the democratic process to decide what the money would be used for. In 1960, the tycoons of America paid a marginal tax rate of 90%, which came to an effective rate of about 50% after all deductions and credits. They also paid big estate taxes and capital gains taxes. But in 1960, it was also the case that over two-thirds of Americans said they trusted government to do the right thing most of the time. Now, billionaire tycoons pay an effective tax rate of about 15%, or none at all, if their accountants and tax attorneys are clever enough. But that's understandable because now, according to surveys, two-thirds of Americans don't trust government to do much of anything right. So, nowadays, we rely on supernova-rich philanthropists to give their billions to causes they deem worthy. And we applaud their generosity. Now, I don't want to sound ungrateful or overly sentimental, but I think I preferred it the old way.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich now teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your comments with us. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
It's an oldie, but a goodie.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.